Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is Dr. Les Olala, co-host of the broadcast and chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And, Doc, we are right in the middle of Missions Conference here on the campus. And I know that you have been a vital part of that for all of these years. And we have the privilege today of having a guest with us that I know you're excited about and we're glad to have on the program. Why don't you introduce our listeners who may be joining us for the first time?
Well, we have Dr. Hans Bernard, who is in Bible translation work with Bibles International Incorporated. And we have been hearing his call to salvation in Haiti, his training, and then his pastoring in Haiti, building quite a large ministry there, and then his call now that we want to hear more about from that pastor at Two Bibles International. And he is one of many missionaries on campus this week, and it just is a challenge. And Dr. Bernard is one we wanted to make sure audience was able to hear.
And Hans, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Sam.
This is it's good to see you, too. This is our third broadcast with you, and I want to just let our listeners know that if they're interested in this topic, they can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download all three of the broadcasts with you. And then we also want to direct them to your website. I know that you have a website at Bibles International, and it is www.biblesint.org. And I'm sure that there are many resources there that many of our listeners will be encouraged by. As Doc said, we heard your call to ministry and rejoiced with you as you gave a testimony of the Word of God in your life in salvation coming through the memory Scripture memory that the Lord introduced you to and brought you to Christ. And then you came and studied at Bob Jones University as a Bible major and went back to Haiti to minister. Is that correct?
Indeed. And I returned to Haiti. The Lord had always directed me toward languages. I attended a Roman Catholic high school. And right there in high school, when I finished high school, I had 6 years of Latin, 3 years of classical Greek, about 5 years of English, and 4 years of Spanish.
When I graduated from high school, I had 4 years of English. my fourth language.
Texas English.
And not counting, of course, I had all the years of French, So the type of studies that I was doing, they were geared toward for someone who was going to invest their lives in the priesthood. And so a lot of literature, ancient history. But the Lord called me to the ministry after I got saved and went to Bible University, and I added to that Biblical Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and studied linguistics and did some lab work in Fijian, which is a language in the Pacific. So there has been that kind of opportunity the Lord has given me to study languages. But my country needed the Scriptures in a good translation. We speak both French and Creole. Not everybody speaks French, but everybody speaks Creole. And we wanted to have a good translation, and the Lord put that burden on my heart to be able to do in my life the three things that I love most, to translate, to publish, and to pastor, and to teach. Translate, preach, and teach, which I'm still doing today in my present ministry. But my primary work had been Bible translation. I was pastoring a church and still doing Bible translation when I was in Haiti, both as a translator and a translation consultant with Bibles International in Africa.
So let me just try to make sure I have this in my head correctly. When you went over to Haiti to take up the ministry and you engaged in church planning and, and you were part of working as a pastor, the thing that motivated you to get into Bible translation was the lack of a good translation.
It was the lack of a good translation. No Christian or church can grow without the availability and use, effective use, of the Word of God.
So when you started this project, did you end up translating the entire Bible into Creole?
I translated the New Testament. It takes an average of 10 to 12 years to do a New Testament and about a generation to do a full Bible. I have a friend of mine who is working in Papua New Guinea. He has worked on the New Testament for 25 years. He's not done. Well, he's done the draft of the Old Testament. It will take another 5 to 7 years to do all the checking. So that will be over 30 years to produce a whole Bible. It takes a long time to put a scripture. The New Testament has been produced. It has been revised and reprinted. And we do have a gentleman right now in training who is going to be the chief translator for the Old Testament.
Now, do you have a team of people working on the New Testament? Was this a project that you did on your own in your spare time, or was this something that you had a team of men working with you?
As a principal at Bibles International, there is no such a thing as a one-man translation. By God's grace in history, the Lord has allowed a Tyndale or a Wycliffe to do a translation, but those things are very rare. So translation works as a team. I was the chief translator. We had stylists. We had editors, Haitian editors. We had people who were reading and reviewing, and people taking the manuscripts to churches to read to people so that they might gather feedback. We had a consultant from Bibles International working also with us. And so even though I had formal training in Bible translation, my formal training did not warrant me to do translation alone. So whoever you are, translation is a teamwork, and there are various people who are contributing various things to it. And all those people were working into producing that translation.
You know, Doc, that's kind of the way all ministry is, isn't it? It really comes down to a God-called team working together.
Exactly.
A good way to explain that, you see, Paul, you remember when he came to Troas, he said, a great door was opened unto me. Basically, the door of the gospel was wide open. Mm-hmm. But he said, I found not Titus, my brother, and I took leave of them. And later in the school of Tyrannus, that whole region was reached.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul wasn't going to go at it alone.
Jesus didn't go at it alone either.
No, and the team concept is very, very much God's plan.
Why is that so rare today, do you think?
Pride is why it's so rare. Mm-hmm. People see themselves, their number one goal is to lift up themselves. They don't want to be considered to be a part of a team. They've got to have their name prominent. And then secondly, I think it's hard to find people with that same burden and who are willing to commit as a couple, because normally you've got to commit families together, not just two men agreeing, but two families coming together. And I think we fail to understand that God didn't create us to work in a vacuum, but
That's
created
true.
Us that that we need to have. Every man, in my opinion, needs three men in his life. He needs a Paul, who is a pattern. He needs a peer that's a Barnabas, and then he needs a project that's a Timothy. And that Timothy draws me out of myself. But I can't do that on my own.
Exactly.
I have to be encircled and find in the gifts of the people who will work. Same thing with the local church. A prosperous local church is the multiple gifts usable. And not sitting dormant.
Well, that's a wonderful reminder, isn't it, of how the Lord puts lives together. Hans, you shared with us realistically, you know, the fact that God called you to the ministry of translation by the need in Creole. But I have an even more personal question. I mean, you were pastoring a growing church. I mean, you shared with us in one of the broadcasts that when you left Haiti, you were building a fairly sizable building and the Lord had prospered the ministry there. What would cause you to leave a place where God was blessing and where you were seeing the hand of God in ministry to come to Grand Rapids to work in somebody's basement for a period of time on a translation team?
Well, at the time I came to Grand Rapids, we are not in the basement anymore. But it is the same thing that would take someone from the United States to Papua New Guinea. God selects people, prepares them, selects them, and calls them and sends them. When I did my training in the United States, I went back to Haiti. In my view, my whole life was going to be spent there to do the things God had called me to do, translate, preach, and teach. And it was a surprise to me that after 10 years in Haiti, God was calling me out of Haiti and to all places, the United States. I have to confess at that time, I had a sense of being spiritual by saying, oh, no, I'll not go to the States. I'll stay in Haiti. It's a poor country. It's needy. Why should I go to the United States when the Lord has many people in the United States who could do what God is calling me to do? But the point is this. It's not really the matter of where God calls you. It's the fact that God calls you. And it would have been as disobedient to me being in Haiti and receiving the call to go to the United States and not obeying as it would be to be in the United States and receiving the call to go to Haiti and not obey. So the point is God selects people, prepares them, and calls you to do a work. But being in the United States is really the springboard from which we minister. We are not doing translation in the United States. We are working with a lot of primitive ethnic groups around the world.
Talk to us about some of those projects and some of the fruit that you're seeing from those projects.
Well, it's so fascinating to see what God... Let's talk, for example, about the Tumak translation, a tribe in Chad. People, they call them really the good-for-nothings. And reduced that language into writing and did the Bible in that language. And to see those people, how proud they say. They say, well, they were asked, telling us the good-for-nothings, that we are good for something for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, the Matu translation for Myanmar, where a translator crossed what was called Death Valley through the jungle, since Myanmar, or Burma is the other name, was a close country. And he went through that valley, walking 9 days before he could find a road, and then 2 more days to get to the Bible's international people to ask them, please help me translate the scripture in that language. And when that translation was completed, we could not ship the Bibles to the country. And young people came from churches from the Matu tribe and crossed that valley and carried those Bibles on their back. Mm. I mean, so many places where we do the translation and people will erect an obelisk with the name of Bibles International. Mm. Had it not been for you, we would not have had the Word of God. So all those things of lives that are changed and the growth of the church. For example, the Simte people in Northeast India, one of the leaders of the Association of Churches he said that before we had the scriptures, we had so many churches and so many pastors. After we see the scriptures, the number of churches, of pastors and believers tripled.
Mm.
The existence of the scripture, it is a seed for the church to grow. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that is the point of getting the word out. You know, God gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it, it says in Psalms. And it is essential for that word to be there. And yet we have to find people are willing to give themselves to that kind of work. And many times it's a behind the scene in an office. These people will never be known.
It is a fact that a Bible translation is a ministry that requires a lot. If you look at the training our people have to have knowing many languages, biblical language, theology, linguistics, many of them have doctorates. It's a fascinating work. It's a rewarding work.
And Hans, you've given your life to make that possible. And the church, I'm sure, doesn't know all of the sacrifices, as you've talked about here, that people who have been called to the task you've been called to have to make to do that.
I'm not alone.
We're so thankful.
Yeah, many people are doing it.
Amen. And those of you listening, if you would like to get all three of the broadcasts, go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.